Before Revelations, you know what a sanctuary is? It's supposed to be a place to run and have rest and to have safety. How many wants God to be able to run into your heart and have rest and safety from any grieving of the world and say, no, God, I don't want any of that in my heart. I want you to feel welcome and just lovely. Amen. I want to be a sanctuary for you, Lord. Jude, verse 8. You have your Bibles today? Good to have each one of you here today. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally is brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and reigned greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose root withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars of whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye that were the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. Pretty quiet in the room today. The Bible's the Bible, no matter where you read from. It's all thus saith the Lord. It's all truth. We all need to say amen no matter what we read out of it. I'm going to catch you off guard here, I think, a little bit. But I'd like to preach Enoch's sermon today.
Oh, my.
The title of Enoch's sermon. And just listen now. To prophesy of judgment is not judgment. Listen now. To prophesy of judgment is not judgment. Well, we'll make the sense of this here in a minute. Let's bow our heads here for a moment. Do you have a need you'd like to lift up? Just you and the Lord. Say, Father, you know my heart. I just come expecting to get what I need from you, not from a man, but from you. God bless each one. Let's all pray and bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be in your house. We pray, Lord, that you'll take this thought, that you'll move me aside, though my thoughts don't mean anything, my words don't mean anything. I'm just a man, I'm a mortal like anyone else, but I thank you for the grace of God you shed abroad in my life. Lord, and I commit my lips to your service. Father, speak to your people, feed them. You asked Peter one time if he loved you, and you told him, and he said, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, then feed my lambs and feed my sheep, Lord. And that's my desire as a pastor here. But Lord, your desire is so much greater than mine. You love your people, Lord, and we come hungry, but we come expecting that our great shepherd will feed us what we have need of. Feed our souls, Lord. Take away any doubt, any confusion, any sort of unbelief, Father, and give us free course to be in your Spirit today. Heal the sick, save the lost, encourage the discouraged, we ask now in Jesus Christ's name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Grant it, Lord. You may be seated.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise
God. I hope I didn't throw you too much for a loop there with that title, but I'm going to show you that this, I'm going to take it from Genesis to Revelation, if that's okay today. We're going to spend a little time in the Word of God. How many believes the Word of God is truth?
Amen.
Amen. If you think anything else is truth, you're wrong. The only thing that's truth is the Word of God, or anything that's just saying what the Word of God's saying. Because God is truth. There's no truth to the devil whatsoever. He's a father of lies. He will always be the father of lies until the days he's destroyed. There's only one true in the world, and that's Jesus Christ right here.
Amen.
Sister, right here in the middle. We got plenty of seats right there for you all. God bless you, each one. Now, to prophesy of judgment, and let me make sure you understand that Enoch's sermon was a prophecy. As most people think that Jude is the one that said this, Jude is quoting from Enoch, which we know is the type of the bride of Christ. He was the first one that was ever translated, who never saw death. And Brother Ram said, well, it must have been because he walked with God for 300 years and he put in more time than anyone else, and God thought he deserved a little break compared to some of us. We served God for 40 years, we think we put in our time. He served him for 300 years in the Antediluvian world, which we know God didn't have a lot of good to say about. He said the world before the flood got to the point where God was grieved. He even made man in the first place. This was bad. Let's just say that. This was not our world. But look, why did God prophesy? What does it mean to prophesy? It means to tell of something before it happens.
Right.
Now listen to me now. When you prophesy of judgment, you're not judging at the time, but you're extending mercy. Because you're telling what will happen in the future. But that means today you have a chance to not fulfill that.
Amen.
And you say, well, it's thus saith the Lord. Isn't it going to happen? Yes, but that doesn't mean you have to be a part of that.
Right.
Today is the day of mercy.
Amen.
Today is the day of salvation. Amen. You can receive it now before it's too late.
Yes. Amen.
And I'm not going off the handle. This is thus saith the Lord from Genesis all the way to Revelation. God pronounced judgment because he wanted to show mercy.
Yes. Amen.
He easily could have just said, you're dead.
Yep.
And that would have been it. But instead, he prophesies.
Yes.
He tells the people, in this much time, in later day, if you don't do this, then you'll die. Why? His intention was to show mercy.
Yes.
But God cannot show mercy unless someone asks for mercy. That's why the worst devil in the world is a religious spirit, because you'll be too proud to ask God for his mercy.
Right.
You'll think you're good enough in yourself. I go to church, I pay my tithes. You know, you sisters, I let my hair grow, I wear dresses, I try to clean up. You brothers, I don't tell dirty jokes, I don't do... That doesn't mean nothing.
That's right.
You ain't saved from none of that. You're saved if you've got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And you've been born again.
Amen.
Then you're saved because you've received the grace of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we're going to take this, I said, from Genesis to Revelation. But this... Enoch was prophesying. Most people think they know what the bride should be saying. I think if there's anyone who knew what the bride should be saying, it was Enoch.
Yeah.
Because he typed the bride. And what was Enoch's sermon? Is the Lord's coming.
Yes.
What was his prophecy? The Lord's coming. Not with just by himself, with 10,000s of his saints.
Amen.
And I'm one of them.
Amen.
I pray you found you're one of them today. How do you know it, Brother Andrew? Because I've got identification.
Amen.
I've got someone on the inside that ain't immortal. He's immortal.
Yes.
It's Jesus Christ. He lives in my heart. And I know him.
Amen.
So that's kind of proud, Brother Andrew. Well, I'm not ashamed to brag on Jesus.
That's
because
right.
Jesus did a miracle to this man.
Hallelujah.
And I can't praise him enough.
Amen.
Sometimes we get a little starchy about it. Why? Because we forget why we're who, how blessed we are. Are you alive today? You're blessed more than 90% of the world. Are you starving today? I don't think anybody here's missed a meal unless they had to, or has had to miss a meal in how many years? Probably your whole life. I tell my students, they'll come in sometimes and say, oh, I'm just starving today. I said, boy, you ain't never even felt what starvation is. You think starvation, you didn't get your Pop-Tart this morning.
Yep.
You ain't starving. What are you talking about? And God will judge this wicked nation for its attitude. I'll tell you that. But why? Why is this? What's the message of the hour? And people will take this and think, wow, what a dark, dreary message. Isn't that? It's just judgment. It's just doom and gloom. Everybody's wrong. Everybody's going to die. And I hate to break it to you, but that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Just getting a little warm. I don't know what's up with this here. Is you guys all warm, or is that just Brother Andrew?
I'm warm.
You're warm too? Well, praise the Lord, Sister Carolyn. We'll get that, shoot some cold air here in a minute. Whew. I got to quit wearing the vest, maybe. Maybe that's what it is. But they'll look at the message of the hour, and they'll look at what Brother Branham had to say about denominations, had to say about the end time, what the Bible had to say about Laodicea, and they'll think, oh my, there's just, why is it all doom and gloom? I thought we had a grace message. I thought there was some, why would God send a message to destroy everyone? He's not sending it to destroy everyone. He's sending it before it comes, that people can get right with God before it gets here.
Right.
Otherwise, we just walk right into judgment, wouldn't we?
Yep.
We wouldn't have known no better. We just would have believed it anyway. But not so. God said, I'm not going to curse the earth because I'll send Elijah the prophet and he'll turn our hearts back to the fathers. That's Malachi 4, the same Bible I'm reading out of right now. And if that scripture's right, the whole thing's right. If that's wrong, the whole thing's wrong. It's either all or nothing. Don't you halfway serve God. Serve him with everything or just quit.
Hallelujah.
Just give him everything. He pays great dividends. If you're looking for a return on anything, investing in the Lord is the best way to invest. He turns back 100-fold. Let's go back. Let's take this through the Bible. If you got your fingers fast, you need to get moving today because I got a lot. Genesis chapter 6. And I pray that this hits home and changes lives and changes my attitude towards life. I'll say that. We're in the end time, church. It's not time to play around. It's time to focus on what's at hand right now.
Yes.
That the day of mercy only will be so much longer.
Yes.
Genesis chapter 6. We'll just start right there at the beginning. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is a flesh, yet he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. You give me one reason God told him exactly how many years it'd be before the flood, unless he was trying to extend mercy.
Yeah.
And if you weren't convinced from that, we could keep reading. I think most of y'all know the story. There was giants, and God was, he knew every imagination of this people was wicked all the time.
Yeah.
We turn over to Peter now. When it picks up on 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. If I can find it myself. Right there towards the end. After Hebrews and James. 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll start at verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. 2 Peter 2:5, just real quick there, flip over. 2 Peter 2:5. We'll save 4 real quick. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be served unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. God told them, you have 120 years and this world will be destroyed.
Right.
And we want that, don't we? People want to know, when's the rapture going to come? When's the last days? And we know the Bible told you, you're never going to know the day or the hour, so don't bother about that. Jesus said, you can't know that stuff. He said, only the Father knows, because him as a man didn't know it. It was the Spirit of God in Christ that knew the day.
Right.
That's right. But here, God, when he came, he saw the world was wicked. It was so bad, it grieved him. He even made this thing in the first place. Think of that for a minute. How grieved God was at this creation that he had let exist.
Right.
And he said, I'm going to tell him how long it'll be. It'll be 120 years, then the flood will come. And it'll destroy the whole world. But what they didn't like, most people probably agreed with it for a while, what they didn't like was the man that told them what it was all about, a preacher of righteousness.
Right.
See, that's only said about certain people that were perfect. And you got Enoch, you got Noah, and you got Job. Three men. Why were they perfect? Because they hated evil.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
And Noah would love to say, brother, you know, Jehoshaphat over there is doing a great job, but he couldn't say it because they were living in sin.
Right.
And he'd love to say, this church over here has got the message, but they won't make it. They're building a different ark. God didn't say that ark. He said this one.
Amen.
And if you don't get in here and repent of your ungodly deeds, you're going to die. They didn't like that preacher.
Right.
Even though he had thus saith the Lord, in this many years, you're going to die unless you get in the ark.
Right.
And then God sent another sign. How many knows what that was? Methuselah. His name means his death. Shall the end shall be at his death. And Methuselah died the year the flood came.
Yeah.
I believe he died. He's the longest man. There you go. Another long suffering of God. God let the longest man to live the longest be the sign that the judgment was coming because it was his long suffering. My, you can't handle giving a brother grace for 120 seconds, hardly. God did it for 120 years, an entire world of people that hated him.
Yes.
That shows you what the Spirit of Christ really is, and I'll get there in a minute, but I just want to take this right through the Bible. Why did God tell them? Because they needed mercy.
Yes.
Why did he send Noah? Because he's the only one that would tell them the truth.
Right.
Amen.
Moses now, for Exodus 32. Can we do a little bit of a Bible study today?
Amen.
Make sure you got your fingers flipping. Through the pages, that is. Or Exodus chapter 32. Very similar situation. God had called out a people and then they went out and corrupted themselves and did whatever they wanted to. And God comes across to Moses, who was his man at the time, just like he did to Noah, told him exactly what he was going to do. Now listen to this. Exodus 32, verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Doesn't that sound familiar, what we read there in Jude? Absolutely. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto. And said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, Here we go, Thus saith the Lord.
Right. Amen.
I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone. Let my wrath wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And oh my, how many message churches that has that other one that they just don't like too much would have said, Amen, Lord, take them out.
Amen.
Right.
Just to prove. But see, that's not the right spirit. You're of a devil.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
God never... One time desired destruction
right. Of
a soul that he had created. The only reason he allows it to even happen is because man chooses to die in sin.
Amen.
And God will not step over your free moral agency. You can do whatever you want to. You want me to prove that real quick? Hey, let's raise our hands for a minute. How'd you do that? God tell you to raise your hands? Or did you just pick them up? See, you get a free moral agent. You can do whatever you want to.
Right.
That's right. God don't force nobody to do anything. And look, right in the midst of a group of people that were stiff-necked. What does that mean? Didn't matter what God said. Didn't matter what kind of thus saith the Lord came across. Doesn't matter what kind of vindication a man of God had.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nope. Not doing it.
Yeah.
And they deserve to die. Let's put it that way. You and I deserve to die.
Yes.
But then something happened here. Let's read the next verse. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power, with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. He is saying this to God.
Yes.
Amen.
God, repent of your decision. Whew. You better know who you are to talk to God like that.
Amen.
But see, Moses knew this man. He had talked to him face to face.
Amen.
And his life was preserved. He knew who he was talking about. And that's why a lot of people, they say, Well, I pray. Do you know who you're talking to?
That's it.
Come on.
Right.
Do you have conversation, or is this just a one-way street? That ain't the way God does things.
That's right.
It's either you and him and you, or you aren't connected yet.
That's
Amen.
Right.
And don't expect a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You won't hear from God if you ain't willing to let him talk to you
Amen.
And say what he wants to say. And then you can have a conversation back according to the word.
Amen.
That's right.
Exactly.
Verse 13, remember. See, what was Moses doing? Remember your word, Lord. You said something back here, and I'm holding you to it.
Amen.
Yes.
Glory.
Woo. I hope this hits home. I really do. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thy own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people.
Why?
the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
To where you can get God to do something He said He wasn't going to. Like I said, I don't got a big enough pulpit just yet. But that's the truth. What else are you going to say here?
That's right.
What else are you going to say? Is the Bible lying to us or not? No. Why did God tell Moses? Why did He tell Moses they were going to die? Because He knew Moses would do what He wanted.
Amen.
Which was someone to stand there and say, have mercy. Forgive them. And you can find another place where He says, don't kill them. Blot me out of your book. I'll take their place.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And we get this death and destruction kind of gospel. Well, they did me wrong. God, destroy them. You ain't got the Spirit of Christ just yet.
Right.
Time to repent and find it.
Amen.
Because the Spirit of Christ, that's what this was right here. God's judgment is true. It has to come to pass. Well, in God's character is mercy.
Yes.
Amen.
It's a part of His character. He desires to show mercy. He doesn't bring judgment because He wants to. It's because He has to.
Right. Amen.
What kind of heaven would it be where sin is allowed to stay?
Yes, sir.
What a miserable place that would be. How many want to go to heaven and still have mind battles?
No.
See, that's why God wants to destroy the works of the devil. That's
Amen.
Why He brings judgment, because He wants the world the way He started it.
Amen.
Before
Amen.
Sin ever got here.
Yes.
Sure.
King Josiah, one time, as you turn to 2 Kings 22, and there's other examples of this. I want to save some time. 2 Kings 22. Excuse me, I want to take a drink here in a minute. 2 Kings 22, and go to verse 10, please. And just give you a little bit backdrop here. This was a time after Israel and Judah had split. They had had kings for a while. Excuse me. And Josiah was a boy when he was called to be king. He was 8 years old.
What?
But God chose him.
That's right.
People got their rules about who God can pick and who He can't. He picked an 8-year-old boy to control his nation, and guess what? It worked.
Amen. Amen.
Worked a lot better than the council they got together to pick a man, didn't they? And that fell apart. That took the whole nation right the wrong way.
Yeah.
But here's Josiah. And Josiah was, he was just doing the best he knew how. He was ignorant of the law of Moses. We know this. We'll get that in a minute. He was just trying to do what he saw everyone else doing. And maybe you were the same way. You just followed along with your parents. And I'm just going to do. But one day, if you're a son of God, the word will come and show you the truth.
Amen.
And that's what happened here to Josiah. Verse 10, and Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest had delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And we know that that was the law of Moses. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded to Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and to Achar the son of, I'm just going to skip along if that's okay, and a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that is written concerning us. Thus saith the Scriptures.
Amen.
We're doomed.
That's right.
And most people's attitude to judgment is just, well, I guess that's the way it's going to be. I guess we'll just lay here and watch everybody die. Never in the Bible is that why God told of judgment before it got here. That's why God prophesied of judgment. It's not judgment, it's mercy that He prophesied of judgment.
Amen.
That He told it before it came. Let's just keep reading now. So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Achar, and Shaphan, and Ahaziah, and went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tikva, the son of Hehas. You praying for me, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched, but...
Come on.
To the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord. Thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again.
Come on.
See, when the word's presented too many times, this is what is wrong. Too many times, I will bring it right down to the individual. If you find yourself a sinner and you come and you hear the word preached that identifies you as a sinner right now, that is not God judging you saying you're done for, you're a sinner. It's God's mercy.
Amen.
It's God trying to scream, change now.
Amen.
Because one day it'll be too late. But the fact that you still got anything in your heart that desires God proves there's still a chance.
Amen.
Because one day, and there's people who have fallen into this case now, where the word doesn't move them at all. And you're sealed out. You're done. That's exactly what's going to happen. And it's a terrible thing, but today is still the day of mercy.
Amen.
One more here, Jonah chapter 3. I absolutely love this example. I've hit on it a little bit, but I like to just read it right out of the Bible. Right there after Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Oh, I'm almost there. After Hosea or Daniel. I meant Jonah. I'm even in Joel right now. Let me get there. Jonah. It's right there a few books later. Just keep going a few more pages. You'll hit it here. Jonah chapter 3. And I can backdrop this. I think most of us know of the story of Jonah. But usually about the only thing we know is that he got swallowed by a big fish. I hate to break to you. That's not really the most important part of this story. That God did a miracle. And he absolutely did. The Bible says he did. So when you hear scoffers come and tell you there's no such fish that can do that, you say, amen. The Bible said the same thing, that God prepared a fish to do this.
Amen. Right.
So yes, it was a miraculous thing that was done by God when he took and he formed a big old fish that could swallow a man that could live in it.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Had a scuba tank and everything down in the stomach so he could breathe down there.
Amen.
You tell me how else that happened, right? God put oxygen down there. He kept it pressurized just right. You know how much science it takes to go to have somebody survive in the bottom of the ocean?
Right.
It takes a lot. And here God did it with a fish.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of men.
Amen.
Any day.
Amen.
And Jonah, he was supposed to go to Nineveh, as we know, and he got a little scared of Nineveh because Nineveh had a good reputation of being bad.
Right.
Being some of the worst people there ever was on the planet. And he didn't want nothing to do with it. So he said, I'm going to go to Tarshish. And he went there. We know the storm came and it was going to kill them all. And they cast lots. A bunch of unbelievers out there at the time. But hey, they cast lots and they realized, this man is the reason we're dying right now. And he fessed up, didn't Jonah? He said, yep, I'm the reason. The only way you're going to live is to throw me off.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they fought with that for a while. At least they had a little morality than most people today.
Yeah.
And they said, we don't want innocent blood on our hands. So they just said, Lord of heaven, whoever you are, because they're just a bunch of heathens, didn't know no different. They said, we're innocent of this man's blood. And they threw him off and the storm stopped.
Right.
And the fish swallowed up Jonah and gone.
Yeah.
And they went on their merry way and said, well, let's go to Tarshish. So let's tell this crazy story that happened. But that's all they ever had. But there was a deeper meaning to that.
Yeah,
and he went down, as we know that. And how it happened, you tell me, I'm not sure. But I'm pretty sure that there had to be a miracle to even get that fish over to Nineveh.
Right.
Because Tarshish ain't nowhere close to Nineveh.
No, it's not.
It's not even the right direction at all. It's completely the wrong way.
Uh-huh.
And God sent his prophet where he was supposed to be anyways, no matter what he wanted to do about it. And God will do the same with you and I. If you want to walk in the things of the world and you're a predestinated seed of God, you can go ahead and try it. But God will lead you right back around to where you're going to do what he said to do anyways.
Amen.
You might as well just pick the easy street and do it.
Right.
Yes. Nike had a great slogan, I think, and we need to apply it. Just do it.
Yes.
Well, how am I going to do this? You're not going to do any of it. Just let the Lord do it.
Amen.
It's that simple. And he got there. And Jonah didn't want to do this. He didn't want nothing to do with Nineveh. He wasn't interested in fulfilling what the Lord wanted to do at this point.
Right.
But God finally twisted his arm, we'll say, and got him over there.
Yeah.
Said, fine, I'll do it. And he walks out of a fish's mouth. And I'm sure you and I would have done the same thing. You might want to listen to what this guy's got to say.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how many knows what their god was in Nineveh. It was the fish god.
Yes.
Right? So God sent what they would recognize as God and sent the prophet right out of his mouth.
Yes, amen.
And then we pick it up here and let's look at the prophecy that went forth. Jonah chapter 3, verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. Look how big this place was. He walked for a day just to get kind of towards the middle so everybody could hear him. And he cried and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Period.
Amen.
Most of us would have got our calendars out. Oh, 40 days this day, everybody's dead. And that would have been all. That wasn't their attitude, was it?
Nope.
See, that's the problem with too much of this message, is they've taken the prophecy of judgment and made it judgment.
Yeah.
When it's mercy.
What?
I pray this is clearing up a lot of fog in our lives of what we believe and why we're saying what we are. Why are we saying that California is going to sink? That those souls over there will get right with God so they don't have to get destroyed with the other millions that will.
Yes.
Same with this nation, same with this world, same with any man outside of Christ. He has. It's going to get so bad, men will want to die and can't.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
None of you have been in that condition yet, and I don't plan on being there.
Amen.
I'm getting out of this place.
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit in me can't stay here for that. It'll take me out of here.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 5. But look at the reaction of these people. A bunch of rank sinners. So the people of Nineveh believed God.
What?
Step one.
Amen.
They believed in what God was saying. They recognized that what God said is truth and it will happen if we don't do nothing. They believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. What mercy God might have on this nation if he saw Obama get down, take off his suit, put on sackcloth and ashes and say, "We need from the greatest of us to the least of us." The whole White House do it.
Yeah.
That's what happened here. Down all the way to the workers at McDonald's were doing it.
Yeah. Sure.
And it gets further than that. Let's keep reading. Verse 7, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his noble, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands." So even your little doggy walking around has got sackcloth and ashes on. And we ain't eating or drinking nothing. We're all fasting and praying and crying unto God saying, "Have mercy on us."
Amen.
Verse 9. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Is thus saith the Lord the end of it? Now, I'll say this, Nineveh was eventually destroyed. I mean, it was wiped out. But this group of people found mercy from the prophecy of judgment.
Amen.
Their attitude. Now, can I say that about America? What I just said about Obama, it might hold off the judgment for a period, but it'll never. God has already decreed it. It's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
We've seen that happen in this church, and I don't mean to bring it up again, but it's just the truth that Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. Prophecy go through this church that there was going to be judgment hit.
Right.
And it did. But I believe the people of God asked for mercy.
Yes.
And God answered us.
Amen.
How is that not scriptural? I want anybody to debate me on that. What are you going to say in the light of this? Said he said 40 days. Our prophecy that came through here said 3 days.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened here. And look, let's just keep reading here. I want to make a good point out of this because you need to understand what happens if you don't have the Spirit of Christ. You'll take on the right wrong attitude about it.
Right.
Read the next verse.
Right.
The prophet of God. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. fly. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. Look at this pity party. God, I finally obeyed you. It didn't even happen. He just saved millions of lives.
Amen.
And instead, he's too worried about himself and his poor little feelings, and somebody's going to call me a false prophet because it didn't happen. And that's exactly what he's doing, and too many people do that.
Amen.
I want God to show mercy. I don't care if I'm wrong. I don't want people to die and go to hell.
Amen.
That's fine with me if I have to look like a fool to get someone saved.
Right.
Praise God.
Yes.
I'm just following a great one that did the same thing when Jesus was called Beelzebub, a devil, and he saved the whole world.
Yes. Amen.
Remember, what did you expect?
Right.
If it happened to him, it'll happen to you as a Christian.
Sure.
Yes.
That's right. Wanting judgment is not the spirit of Christ.
Right.
Proverbs says this, just listen here. Proverbs 24:17, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it and it displease him.
Sure.
And turn away his wrath from him. We went through the Old Testament and gave some examples, but I like to jump in the New Testament. I've been too long. Are you enjoying this today?
Yes.
God pour it out upon us, your word. Let's go to the New Testament here for a little bit. Luke 9. This is all on tape. If you can't get it all down, you can go back and write them down and study it yourself. This is the state of Scriptures. Luke 9. Let's go down to 51. I just love God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Am I on the right? Yes, sir. Okay. And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was though he would go to Jerusalem. They didn't receive him because he kind of looked like a different kind of church person. He looked more like a Reaganite. Not good at this. That's exactly. He wasn't quite like a Samaritan. He looked like he was kind of. He wasn't even going to Jerusalem. He just kind of looked like he might head that way.
Yeah.
And they didn't receive him because of that. That old denominational spirit, that's all that is.
Right.
And when the disciples, when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, oh, here we go. Wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. And there's only two spirits. So obviously, if he's rebuking them, chances are they're not listening to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
They're listening to an evil spirit, which we call a devil.
Amen.
And the devil quotes the Bible. The devil tries to apply the Bible in their own context.
Right.
Sure.
They quoted, hey, Elias did it. Elijah did it back in the Old Testament when they came and challenged. Fire came down and destroyed those 50. Here we are. Let's do it.
Right.
Come on.
Verse 56. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them.
Yes.
And the Son of Man is come in this day.
Amen.
Not to destroy men's life, but to save them.
Amen.
Why do you think Brother Brandon would say, don't go down the denominational way? Because you'll die. You'll believe a lie and be damned by it.
Yes.
Don't do that. Stay with the Word of God.
Amen.
I don't care what anyone says. I don't care what anyone does. I don't care if everyone forsakes the Word.
Right.
You follow it.
Amen.
Because what is the Son of Man? We know it was God. Jesus came as Son of Man, Son of David, Son of God. The Son of God was the Holy Ghost. We understand that. The Son of Man is that God could make himself known as a human.
Amen.
And here we are again today. If you think this is Brother Andrew's doctrine, this is not me. This is the Son of Man making himself known that I'm still extending mercy.
Amen.
I'm still doing the same thing I've done since the beginning of time. People think the Old Testament God was different. He was a man of wrath. He gave mercy every time anyone asked for it.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And he brought judgment when they did it.
Yeah.
And look, that didn't change in the New Testament.
Right.
If they didn't ask for mercy, they didn't receive it. It's the Scriptures.
Amen.
Now let's look at what's the attitude of the believer then. Our attitude of knowing the judgment, our attitude of knowing the future is not to tell everyone they're going to die and go to hell. That's not the point. The point is to show them the path of life before it's too late and it gets here.
Amen.
And there's nothing to do about it then. Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years, but one day he had to just stay in the ark.
Yes.
And God shut the door. What could he do?
Right.
Right.
You know that good, kind boss out there that treated him right most of the time and things and didn't cause no trouble? He couldn't do anything.
Right.
And that's how helpless I feel when I see somebody. They've got their mind made up in some false thing. How do I know it's false? It ain't what the Word says.
Right.
Sure.
And it ain't going to produce what the Word says. That's how you know something's the devil. If it ain't thus say the Lord, if it don't come to pass, it's the devil.
Right.
That's absolutely right. When the Word, even when I'm telling you now, God didn't change His mind. He only did what He wanted to do in the first place.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen.
And He knew the only way to get it done. But what's the attitude of the believer? Is God, if there's anything I can do, I'll do it.
Amen.
You mean it's a sacrifice? Yeah.
Yes.
You mean you're going to have to love people that hate you? I feel like I've heard someone say that before.
Yeah.
This is what separates true Christianity from religious spirits, from Islam, from denominationalism, and all these things, is your ability to love the unlovable.
Amen.
That's right. People that don't deserve mercy, can you extend mercy? If not, you've never received mercy yet.
Amen.
That's right.
That's what the Bible said. If you can't forgive your brother whom you have seen, if you can't love your brother whom you've seen, how can you say you love God whom you've not seen?
Amen.
Luke 13, just a few pages there, gives you the proper attitude of a servant of God when judgment comes. Luke 13, verse 6. I'm almost done with Scriptures. Give me one more after this. Luke 13, 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came forth, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Now, don't think too carnally here. He's not talking about a tree. He's talking about a church that is rooted in Him, that claims to have the Word, that is trying to do its best. And the Lord came to look for fruit of the ministry and couldn't find anything. Oh, they had members.
Right.
They had tithe payers. They had people that, you know, were happy or they liked one another sometimes.
Yeah.
But as far as real fruit, couldn't find none. Couldn't find no divine healing. Couldn't find no joy. Couldn't find no love. Couldn't find no peace. God calls fruit what's fruit.
Amen.
We don't get the choice. He said, without me, you can do nothing. So God chooses what's something and what's nothing.
Amen.
And if people are doing stuff without Christ, that's automatically nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
He said so. You
right.
can't do anything without Him. Amen. So He has this church. He has this group of believers that are attached to His name. And He came to look for fruit and He can't find any. Verse 7. Then said He unto the dresser of the vineyard, to the pastor, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Take them out. Get them out of here. I mean, seeing a man of God get that. Let's pray he repents one day. But seeing a man get up and have that kind of attitude. I'm just going to cut this out. Get out of here. I don't care no more.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not this servant, though. Look what he said. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dug it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. What was he saying? Lord, give me one more try. Give me one more effort. Give me one more opportunity to extend mercy. And that's where we're at right now. As in time. I believe that's exactly where we're at as individuals, those that we fellowship with, those that we see in work. We are at this point right here. Lord, give me one little bit more time.
Amen.
And if you come and you don't see nothing, then go ahead. I can't do nothing else about it anyways.
Sure.
That's a real servant of God. Testimony 1950, Brother Branham says this. Now remember, friends, we're going to look at the thing right straight in the face. And I believe we're doing that today. Let's look at this right in the face. Let's not hit around about it. Let's just treat it like it ain't what it is. It's judgment. Yeah. It's coming. You thought it was bad in Nineveh, this is way worse. Yeah. This is the greatest, to the point where the Bible says there will never be a day before or after it like what's coming to this planet.
That's right.
God never sends judgment until first He sends His mercy. But after His mercy, it's bound to be judgment. To reject the mercy is the bringing in of judgment.
Amen.
The prophecy of judgment is not judgment. It's the rejection of the prophecy and the extended mercy that was given to you. That's what brings the judgment on.
Yes. Amen.
I'm going to keep reading there. Through the ages, since the apostolic age in the beginning, there's never been such signs and wonders that God could put before the people. Surely thousands way off, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. See, for Jesus said they would be that way like they were in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man.
Right.
What happened in the days of Noah? There was mercy extended for 120 years, but that ran out.
Right.
Amen.
And there was only 8 saved. And look, it was only Noah's family.
Right.
Doesn't look like a very successful ministry of 120 years, does it? God doesn't count His church, He weighs them.
Yeah.
He found 8 believers that were sold out, didn't care that they looked like a bunch of idiots. They were going to do what God said do.
Right.
Amen.
That's how you prove if you believe you're willing to put your hands to the wood and build the ark.
Amen.
It's one thing to say, well, that's a mighty good doctrine, and that's a pretty nice ark. No, these 8 people were involved
right.
in getting this thing built. I pray you're doing the same. Well, how do I build the ark of God? How long have you been on your knees?
Sure.
How often does this book get open in your house? How often are you listening to tapes and sermons and reading the things of God? And we expect to get results when we ain't doing those things. How?
Right.
How? How can it happen? Without Christ, we can do nothing.
Amen.
I challenge you. This is mercy today, though. This isn't judgment yet. This is mercy.
Yes.
Say you find yourself as a sinner, you find yourself on the wrong side. Receive mercy today.
Amen.
Before it's too late.
Amen.
Life, 1962. Few more quotes, I'll wrap this up. If I seen our brother here, some brother going down a swift river in a little boat, then I know that boat wasn't going to make the riffle, see? And I begin to scream at him, it isn't I got something against the brother, it's love that makes me do that, see? It's the boat that he's in, it won't pack him.
Right?
And that's what I see with a lot of people's revelation, so-called. When they don't do nothing, don't produce no signs, ain't got a life that's for God, you don't have the right thing yet. Go back and get it.
Amen.
Repent of whatever you thought was right. That's fine. Look, many of us have had to do that. Many of us had to take 20 years of what we thought was right, throw it in the trash, say, God, I was wrong because I want to follow the Word. I don't care what anyone else says. I don't care what it costs me. I'm going to be right with God.
Amen. Yes.
Praise you.
To the point where Jesus said, if you love father, mother, wife, child, and even yourself more than me, you're not worthy to be my disciple.
Amen.
That sounds like judgment. It's mercy.
Yes.
Amen.
Because if he's not number one, he's not in the picture.
That's right.
Felt like I wanted to go somewhere else. Let me just read a few more scriptures. Listen now. I don't want you spending more time. 2 Peter 3:8 says this, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness. And that's where most people are right now. Where's the judgment? Oh, God's not slack. He'll bring His word to pass. But what's holding it off? But is long-suffering to usward.
Amen.
Gotta wait until His church is ready.
Amen.
You won't bring it until she is. But His long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
And he, in the book of Revelations there, I'm just going to quote it because I know where it's at. Speaking of Jezebel, he says here, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not."
Amen.
Now I'll just let Brother Branham say what I want to say right now. Can I read you? This is a little bit lengthy, but I'm going to wrap it up on this. Coming out of the church age book. Listen closely now. Don't get distracted just yet. Actually, don't get distracted at all. You ain't listening to Brother Andrew anyways. Jesus Christ trying to get something across to us today.
Amen.
"Herein is now set forth the love of God. He desired and loved a family of His own. A family of sons. Sons like Himself. There before Him lies all mankind as one lump of clay. Out of that same lump He will now make vessel unto honor and unto dishonor. The choosing will be His own choosing, because He's God." That's right. What can we say? What would you think if you walked up to your car and you went to put the keys in and the car said, "I don't want to do nothing"?
Come on.
"I'm sorry, car. I'm boss around here.
Right.
When I turn this key, you're moving."
Right.
The same with man. What are we to turn around and tell God how to do something?
Right.
If we ever get a revelation that God really loves us, we'll realize, "God, you know what's best anyways. I'll just shut up and go ahead and do it."
Yes. Amen.
But do what your word says. "The choosing was His own choosing. Those chosen ones born of His Spirit will be trained to conform to His image in their walk." Wow. Listen now. "He reproves them with all long-suffering and gentleness and mercy. He chastens with nail-scarred hands. Sometimes this potter must take this vessel he is working on and thoroughly break it down in order that he may rebuild it exactly as he desires it."
Amen.
But it is love.
Yes.
That is His love. Yes. Another way of His love there is not. There cannot be.
Amen.
Yes. Oh, little flock, do not fear. This age is fast closing. How many can say amen?
Amen.
That's right. "As it does, those tares will be bound together. And as a 3-4 cord is not easily broken, will have a tremendous 3-4 strength of political, physical, and spiritual satanic power. And they will seek to destroy the bride of Christ. She will suffer, but she will endure."
Yes.
"You're not immune to attack, but you're immune to defeat."
Amen.
Amen. "Fear those things. Fear not those things that are coming upon the earth, for he who loved his own loveth them to the end." Aren't you grateful?
Amen.
"Be zealous and repent."
Yes.
Now, this false church has zeal. No, make no mistake about that. Her zeal has literally been that of the Jews. "The zeal of thine house has eaten me up." But it's the wrong zeal. People that say they love God, but it's the wrong thing. If you don't do what God wants, it don't do you no good.
Right.
What good would it do you, parents, if you said, "Hey, son, whatever, go clean your room." And he went in there and did the dishes. Well, I mean, I did a work. I did something for you. That's not what I asked of you. I was going to do the dishes. Get in there and clean that room. Why? Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Sure.
And that's the way God treats us. We think, "Well, I want to do this for God." Hey, you're choosing.
Right.
You do what God said do.
Amen.
There we go. That was better. But it's the wrong zeal. It's a zeal. It is for the house of their own building. It's for their own creeds, dogmas, organizations, their own righteousness. They have put the word out for their own ideas. They disposed the Holy Ghost and made men into leaders. Hear me now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I ain't your leader. The Holy Ghost is.
Amen.
That's right. And only what He uses me as a gift is just to help you. I ain't here to dictate anyone.
Right.
The Holy Ghost is here to tell us what to do and what not to do.
Amen.
They have put aside, give us revelation today, Lord. They have put aside eternal life as a person.
Amen.
And made it good works. Or even church conformity rather than good works. And most message people won't say that, but that's what they believe.
That's sure.
As long as you treat me nice and clean and you're respectful to me and you come to church and you play the part and things, you're in. Church conformity.
Amen.
No. Unless you have Jesus Christ in you.
Yes.
Literally. In your soul. You don't have eternal life. Because he's the only source of eternal life.
Amen.
He said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He that hath the Son hath life.
Amen.
He that hath not the Son hath not life.
Right.
1 John.
Amen.
But God is calling for another zeal. How many wants the zeal of God?
Amen.
Amen.
I want the zeal to do what God wants me to. And I've read it before, but I pray it hits us home. It is the zeal to cry, I am wrong.
Yes.
Come on.
Where are we at as Christians? That's the last thing most people want to say. Well, Lord, I did this, I did that. That ain't what he's interested in. When you're convicted, just say, I'm wrong.
Sure.
When you believe something wrong and you know you're living in sin, just tell him, I'm wrong. Until you recognize you're wrong, you'll never get right because you won't think you'll need to.
Right.
You'll think if you conform to the church, you'll get saved. You'll think if you do some good works, you'll get saved. And it will never work. You've got to have the zeal, a zeal to say, I'm wrong.
Yes.
Amen.
A zeal to say, when I'm in the flesh, you know what? I'm just going to tell you that I was mad and I shouldn't have done that. Then it stops the devil right in his tracks before he gets right through and gets all kinds of complexes built up and destroys this person against this one because they think that about that and they don't know anything because instead of just repenting and getting the thing right, we try to soften it up.
Yeah.
I'll just do some good works to make up for it. And then you know what happens? People know.
Yeah.
Right? Not stupid. People know when you love them and when you don't.
That's right.
They know when you're just trying to get some brownie points.
Yeah.
Trying to get something out. Look, if you're trying to get something out of doing something for somebody else, you already got your reward. Don't plan on God giving you anything.
Right.
The Bible says that. And I can't stand when people do that. Look, don't give me a dollar if you're just doing it so I can pay you back later.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's vice versa, too. Don't think that every time I do something for you, I want something back. I don't.
Right.
I just love you.
Amen.
I want you to just love me and everyone into each other and think, we get this tally mark list. I've done this for this person, and they never called me. They didn't even appreciate me. What does that matter? Put your treasures in heaven where they belong.
Yes. Amen.
Quit worrying about down here where everything's going to blow up anyways.
Right.
Amen.
Lord, give me a revelation that the end time's here.
Yes.
That it's literally here. That I could wake up tomorrow, and a bomb's coming for America.
Yes.
Right.
I'll fly away, though. Ain't going to hit before I leave.
Amen.
Amen.
It ain't. Amen. I'm sorry. I told that to a student one time who wasn't a believer, and she said, oh man, I wish I just had a bomb right here. I said, it wouldn't work. You're trying to fight a man. I'm not telling you you're fighting a man. You're fighting God.
Yeah.
And he knows real easy how to tweak a few things in there and make it not go off.
Yeah.
He's pretty smart. Actually, he's so smart, he's smarter than anyone.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
And the weirdest thing about it, he ain't never learned one thing.
Right.
Because he already knew it.
Yeah.
He's never thought a new thought. You know, but never. So if you find yourself as a thought of God, listen, you find yourself saved, sanctified, predestinated before the foundation of the world, God can never change his mind.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Glory to God. But God is calling for another zeal. It's the zeal to cry, I am wrong. Now, who is going to say that he is wrong? What is it that these denominations are based upon? The claim to originality and that of God. The claim that they are right. Now, they all cannot be right. In fact, not one of them is right. They are whited sepulchres full of dead man's bones. They have no life. They have no vindication. God has never made himself known in any organization. You show me where it was. They say they are right because they are the ones that are saying it. But saying it does not make it so. They need the vindicated, thus saith the Lord of God, and they don't have it. Now let me say this here. I don't believe that God is calling only the false church to repent. In this verse, he is talking to his elect. They have some repenting to do too.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Many of his children are still in those false churches. We just wrote them all off already, didn't we? Many of his children are still out there. Don't write them off just yet.
Right.
It ain't done yet. Lord, give me one more year. I'll dig it out. We'll go find a few more. There's a few more fruit on that tree. I don't believe that, many of his children are still in those false churches. They are those of whom it speaks in Ephesians 5:14. Awake thou that sleepeth and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. To be asleep is not to be dead. These are sleeping amongst the dead. They are out there and the dead denominations are floating along with them. God cries out, repent! Wake up! Repent of your folly. Here they are lending their influence, giving their time and their money, actually their very lives, to these antichrist organizations. And all the while thinking it is all right. They need to repent. You must repent. You need to have a change of mind and turn towards the truth. Yet, this is the age that most needs to repent. But will it? Will this age turn back to God and have a revival? Will it bring back the Word? Will it again enthrone the Holy Spirit in men's lives? Will it again revere Jesus as the only Savior? I say not. So as an age, where we are right now, remember what the Holy Spirit did on the wall when the seven church ages were supernaturally drawn. Don't forget these things. We know these things for a reason. When it got to that last circle of Laodicea, it was completely black. Wasn't no light left. But when Brother Branham drew it, I think I have it. No, I don't. I'm sorry. I don't think I have it in this one. When he drew it on the wall or on the chalkboard, the last one had a little sliver of light in it. And that was from the message coming and pulling out and let group. Because before Laodicea goes to all black, there was still some white while the message was going forth that could pull those souls out of darkness.
Amen.
Why did God prophesy of the judgments to come? It was for that little sliver of light to be able to get out before it was too late.
Amen.
Let's stand together today. Be flat. I saw a little mercy and grace. Three little teeth. Closely. As a minister, I can say I've honestly, this is one of the most compelling things I felt just preach on in a long time. Just so the Lord just pushing me this way, so you've got to say these things. This is needful at this time. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
It gives you a new focus, it gives you a new desire. Now let's bow our heads for a moment. Let's open up our hearts and minds, our souls to God. Don't worry about your neighbor. Jesus said, don't worry about your husband, wife. This is right now you and God. If you find yourself on the wrong side, if you find yourself wrapped in the things of the world, and that's Christian included, brother, sister, we ain't going living lukewarm lives. We're going to get out of that mess by the Spirit of God. This has nothing to do with anyone else. This pronouncement of judgment is not to bring anyone into condemnation, but to get you out of it. So ashes, we've all got our heads bowed and no one looking around. Say, Lord, that's me. God bless you, brother. That's me. God bless you, sister. That's me today. God bless you, sister. God bless you, brother. That's me. That's me that's let the world influence me. That's me that hasn't surrendered. That's me that's on the wrong side of the fence. I've lived the life the wrong way. Because I've tried to live. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. Bless you, brother. God bless you, sis. Hallelujah. Say, what are you waiting on, Brother Andrew? This ain't my turn to talk. This is his turn to talk. Are you willing to open up your heart and listen? Get too spiritual, that we're not spiritual anymore. Humble thyself. Say, me get down and cry before God. Is that going to mean anything? I'm going to be here between life and death. It was in Nineveh. But remember, it needs to be not on the outside. Emotions come and go. You've got to get down to where your heart is now tender to God. And you're willing to say with the zeal, I am wrong. God. I say the same as a Christian. Say, God, forgive me. I've been lazy. I've been slack. I've been feeding on other things. And it's hindering my love to you. Don't leave this service the same church of God. I'm praying the same God. Don't let me be like that again. I'm confessing His Word. I'm believing God. He said, if I come to Him, He will meet me. He'll know why He cussed this out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't even feel to have an altar call right now up here. we need to get down to business ourselves. If you want to have an altar call, you can get down right there and have it with the Lord right this minute and break through in the Spirit and get settled in Christ now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Past that hope, church. Get past that place where, well, I mean, I feel a little different, but I just don't know. You got to get past that. You need to see it. You need an assurance, or you're never going to have peace with God. You got to find your complete dependence in Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I'm not looking to anything I've done or haven't done. What I've done is filth. What I haven't done is filth. What I've thought is filth. But God, have mercy on me. Let thy blood wash me clean today. Let it go past just my feelings, just past my head, just past my flesh. Let it get down in my soul and wash it clean, Lord. That I wouldn't even desire those things. That when Satan would tempt me, I said, devil, I don't want nothing to do with that. Get away. I don't want nothing to do with the world no more. I don't want nothing to do with your drugs and your alcohol and your lust and your anger and your malice and your jealousy. I'm done with that, devil. I don't want nothing to do with that. I want to serve you. I want to be a real Christian. Help us to get past ourselves. We're not Christians to be selfish. But if you don't have anything to shine, then where's God going to get light to anywhere else? Brother, sister, I'm your pastor or your brother, but I can't follow you wherever you go. You're the army of the living God. And if you don't have light shining, there's a part of this world that's living in darkness. Get the sin out of our lives. Not even just for yourself, but for your brothers, your sisters, your friends. There's no hope without the bride of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Take this time to yield yourself to the Spirit. You just love on Him a little bit. Thank you and say, God, I praise you for forgiving me. I praise you sent me mercy. And I was able to accept it today. That I'm not leaving here the same, but Jesus Christ, I trust you're going to change my heart. I'm not going to be like this. Look, it's got to come out of your mouth. It's got to come out of your heart, or I won't do any good. I can pull on your emotions. I can pull on you, come up forward and get an emotional experience that only lasts so long until the emotions run out. It's got to be you deciding. Your free moral agency. You to take your will and to lay it down and say, I don't want it. I want your will, Lord. The cost of my life, Lord, I want your will. I want to be saved. Is there anyone who would say that? Look, nobody's looking. Don't worry about nothing right now. This is something for some of you. This could be the most serious moment you've ever had in your life. Would you say, God, I'm not saved. Save me today and change me. Would there be anyone? Thus saith the Lord God, receive it! Humble yourself, yield yourself. Lord will tell us what He said.
Don't be afraid of him. In your hearts, don't grieve the Spirit. And then get the people in this room. I speak softly and humbly. You don't move. I raise my voice and proclaim my word, and I cry it aloud. You don't move. What else dost thou desire of me, saith the Lord God? Have not I given you word? Have not I given you a space to repent? Don't grieve me again. For I love you, saith the Lord God. I've loved you before you were even formed in your womb. Please receive my word today. Will you make me beg the Almighty? Why must I beg of you when thou shouldest be begging of me? Receive my mercy. Receive my grace before it's too late. Moments like this where you feel him. His heart's broken. He resisted, his heart's broken. Jesus didn't die on the cross from the blood. He died because his heart was broken. And he took him. And he loved him. Don't break his heart. Whoever say your lips you love Jesus, and you ain't serving him. Don't lie to him again. Mean it this time. An old-fashioned die now. We got too much pride. You need to let go and say, well, people might look at me. Well, you need to die. If you're afraid to get emotional, well, you're on the wrong side. You need to get down and die your sinful ways. You need to die to your old self. You need to find a refuge. You need to find a change. God's not done here today. I warn you, Christian. I warn you, brother, sister. This could be it. I'm praying it's not. As a brother, I'm telling you, some of you ain't. You're not yielding yourself like you're supposed to. You're holding back. You're holding back some prideful idea that it's going to be okay. I can still do this. I can still do that. You're lying to yourself. You're listening to the devil's lie. It's legions of devils that are telling you right now, oh, you're too tired to repent today. You're too tired to mean business with God. You need to, it'll be lunch here before you know it, and I can forget about this conviction and everything else. Go back to what else. That is a legion of devils telling you that trash. You need to reject that thing if you ever want a hope from God. You need to break down and die to your old self. There ain't no such thing as some dried-eye repentance. If you're a sinner, you need to die. But Christ can do nothing for you. We've all came the same way. Don't act like anyone's proud around that's a Christian. They came the same way you are now. They came through that road of repentance. They came through that road of death to self. God's word, they had to say, not my will, but thine be done. You only knew, you that's on the wrong side. I don't want to call you by name. I'm just trusting you'll just listen to him. But I can tell you every person here that needs to repent right now. That's not me, it's the Holy Spirit that's here. The same God that stood by the prophet of God is in this room. He will discern every heart here. If your heart has wickedness, you answer it now. God's moving. He's moving because it's it. He's prophesying of judgment that's coming so quickly. Receive it now. Receive it now. Not tomorrow, not 5 minutes from now. Receive it now. And say, God, I need a change. I need something supernatural. Who can know the heart of man? Who can change who you are? Only God can. Hallelujah. Christian, I say the same to you. I rebuke you if you're trusting yourself in any way, shape, or form. The only reason you should be happy or making it is because God has given you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if there's any doubt about that, get and say, God, have mercy on me. Tell me where it's wrong. Tell me where Satan snuck in somewhere and is keeping me from the Holy Ghost. Because the truth is, God wants you to have the Holy Ghost more than you want it. The truth is, God wants you saved more than you could ever desire to be saved. Humble yourself. I give revelation today. I've spoken this not of myself, but of your spirit that's in me, that's saying these things now. God, let the people see that. It takes 5 minutes in the presence of God to change a life. 5 years just being religious won't change a thing. Hallelujah. God bless you, brother. Receive it, brother Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. That's a tender heart right there. He said, you just presume that's how say the Lord. He has what he desires today. Now, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with your faith? Do I have to call everyone by name? It's the same promise to you. Prophet, rebuke the people the same way. Why do I got to call him by my name? Why do I say this? The same word that man got healed by, the same word that gave Brother Jason what he needs, is here for you right now. That's all it takes. That's all it takes is business. It means business with God. Have peace. I'm telling you, there's people flooding all around you that are praying right now that you'll have it before you leave. Because they love you. Because the Spirit of God that's in them loves you. Feel free to worship anyway. God gives you some, you pray. There ain't no church order at this point. This is church order, worship of God. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to speak in tongues and fall out and worship God. Go ahead. That's sometimes why we don't get what we need is we get too formal. We think, well, if I just do this little action here, then no, you mean business. pressing right on. Father God, press right into that place. That place of Shekinah, that place of glory, that place of perfect peace. Where you can see Jesus' face, it's not condemning you. It's love, mercy, and grace.
you're going to die, you'd say, Doc, what can I do? You'd do the same thing right now. If you ain't got peace, talk to the doctor. Say, Lord Jesus, I can't help myself. But whatever you say, I'll do it. I obey your word. I'm walking. I'm a Christian. I'm walking as far as God forgives me. Let me come back to the right way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just let that bird fly away today. Let it fly away by the power of God.
God bless you. God loves you today, church. Lord, we gave you this opportunity.